So I'd now like to introduce Ivan Krstić, who studied comparative and German literature at the University of Tübingen and film and television studies at the University of Amsterdam, where he wrote his master's thesis on postmodern films that depict the disintegration of Yugoslavia. Recently, he's completed his doctoral thesis on the representation of urban poverty in world cinema, which is due to be published by Edinburgh University Press in 2016. Slums on the Screen, World Cinema, the Planet of Slums. Currently, he's a postdoctoral researcher at the Film, Theatre and Television Department of the University of Reading, where he works on a DAAD-funded project, Accented Essay Films, approaching it from a transnational film practice. And he's also the organizer of the forthcoming event, World Cinema and the Essay Film, which I think he's going to tell us about in his paper, where he's working in conjunction with Lucia Najib, who no doubt you'll also mention.
I will. Thank you, Laura. Well, as you can see, I haven't thought of another title than the leading question of today's opening conference here. Not because I was not inspired to think up a new one, but rather because I thought the question could serve as a good guideline through my presentation. But let me first thank the organizers of this event, especially Matthew, Michael, and Laura for inviting me. Actually, I've been here only once before. That was last year in March at another interesting event called the Self-Portrait in the Moving Image, which was on the 1st of March 2014, I think, where I also heard, among others, Laura Rascaroli speak. The Self-Portrait and a Moving Image event took actually place before I even knew that I will receive a postdoctoral research grant from the German funding organization DAAD, which is translated as German Academic Exchange Service, to work with Professor Lucia Najib on a research project called Accented Essay Films at the University of Reading. But to stay with the notion of the self-portrait, my own interest in experimental forms of cinema and also in essay films that dates actually much further back than to my recent research activities in Reading, which are indeed very recent since they only started in June last year. In fact, it actually dates back to my undergraduate years at the University of Tübingen in the mid-90s. In this little Swabian university town, I met for the first time in my life people who had likewise interest in such interesting alternative films as I did. The intellectually stimulating atmosphere of the town inspired me to write papers on, for instance, self-reflexivity in modernist films, or on Alain René's last year in Marienbad, or Peter Greenaway's early films. While studying German and comparative literature, I also had the chance to visit some film studies seminars, because in Germany at that time, film studies was done in the literary departments, where such topics and filmmakers have been discussed with great enthusiasm. Consequently, I also had some exhausting but mostly interesting discussions with my fellow students on the relations and intersections between film and literature. Some of those fellow students wrote their dissertations on, for instance, Alexander Kluge's films and their indebtedness to Adorno and the Frankfurt School, while our discussions, appropriately enough, took place in some of the most notorious student pubs of Tübingen, which back in the 90s still had the flair and atmosphere of the 1968 student revolts, as my friend Nikolaus will know, since I studied with him in Tübingen, and he's here today. Hence, to answer the title question of this event in a more personal or autobiographical way, why the essay film now? After quite a few detours and explorations of other film studies interests and topics, with my postdoctoral research project here in Reading, I thus now return to my old love from my undergraduate years in Tübingen, the essay film, and with it, of course, also to questions such as how to define the relation between literature and cinema, text and image, thoughts and film. However, before this introduction becomes itself too essayistic, I would like to give you a short overview of what I really want to talk about today, and also of how I would answer the question, why the essay film now, in a perhaps less personal way. So the first part will be, I will talk about the World Cinema and the Essay Film conference, which I organize right now, and this talk about the major goal, the premises, and the topics and panels which we will have at the conference. And the second part, I will briefly introduce you to my postdoctoral research project on extended essay films, talk about the film Lost, 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 why it can be defined as a transnational film practice, and give you a few contemporary examples. So this is the poster of the conference I'm organizing. And as you can see from the poster, the conference will take place in about a month at the University of Reading. And we are extremely lucky that we have two outstanding film scholars as keynote speakers, both of whom have contributed to essay film scholarship quite profoundly. As most of you will probably know, Timothy Corrigan wrote the monograph, The Essay Film from Montaigne After a Marker, published at Oxford University Press in 2011. And Thomas Elsesser was my master's thesis supervisor at the University of Amsterdam, and is of course an expert on many things, but he has also written numerous essays on one of the most important German essay filmmakers, the recently deceased Harun Farrokhi. So why talk about this conference to answer the question, why the essay film now? First of all, I think the conference is probably the major reason why I was invited here, so I probably should also talk a little bit about it. But generally speaking, I think there is a necessity for such a conference right now, particularly because of the digital revolution and its effects on how essay films are both produced and received by its audiences worldwide. And I'm sure people like Catherine Grant can say more about this topic. Whether one thinks from the production or from the reception point of view, in my opinion, this is without a doubt the main reason why there is definite need to engage in a much broader sense with the essay film as a phenomenon. That is not only geographically, but also conceptually. In my opinion, the concept of world cinema, even though it has a plethora of varying definitions, might be a suitable one to tackle the polycentric as well as polyphonic appearances of essayistic film practices in times of globalization and since the arrival of digital media technologies. As a favorite of world cinema or documentary film festival organizers, as an internet phenomenon, as interactive installation in art and new media exhibitions, as late TV program option for broadcasters like Arte in Germany and France, or as feature films for the last remaining arthouse cinemas, to mention but a few. Yet even before the digital revolution, the essay film has, despite its strong ties to French and by extension also German film culture, according to Timothy Corrigan, the essay film has always been a truly transnational practice, and as already Laura has explained. However, despite its transnational roots, so to speak, existing scholarship has largely focused on defining the essay film's formal aspects within Western European conceptual and aesthetic traditions. An insufficiency that has also been spotted and noticed by the organizer of an earlier conference titled The Essay Film Ästhetik und Aktualität, which took place in 2007 at the Leuphana University in Lüneburg. And you see the slide, on this slide you see the cover of the edited volume that was based on the conference and which was published 4 years later in 2011. Interestingly, judging from what the volume's editors and conference conveners Sven Kramer and Thomas Tode have written in their introduction to this volume, it seems that not only the aesthetic traditions feeding into the essay film have been debated with regard to some of its major auteurs, referred to in the subtitle as aesthetic, but also our question today, why the essay film now, to which the term Aktualität, from German translated approximately as the actuality or topicality of the essay film, refers to, although Christa Blümlinger will probably know more about the actual debates at the conference because she was actually there, right? Okay. With regard to the deficits of previous essay film scholarship, Kramer and Tode state in their introduction that in order to survey and study the essay film's diverse and varied manifestations, it is necessary to create spaces for truly global debates where we should particularly address the output of non-Western countries. They would appreciate it very much if successive projects pick up on develop this conceptual thought and transgress the organizational limits we faced with our own project. So I don't know what the organizational limits were, but the conference that I'm organizing in Reading tries to respond to this perceived research gap or insufficiency by, and I quote now from our call for papers, by situating the essay film as a world cinema practice, as a means to expand its reach and encompass a variety of productions which have so far escaped the radar of essay film specialists. The concept of world cinema has been increasingly oriented towards the interrelatedness of regional productions on a global scale, while simultaneously decentering film studies' traditional Euro and Hollywood-centric bias. And Lucia Najib, my supervisor, is actually a specialist on that topic. In combining both concepts, world cinema and essay film, this conference will be allowing the essay film to benefit from its relation with the global breadth of world cinema, whilst pushing world cinema itself out of the fenced-in realm of fiction and into a world where documentary fiction and theoretical thought combine, unquote. To summarize the premises of our call for papers briefly, our premise is that there is an epistemological and theoretical need to connect world cinema and essay film. Why? First of all, in order to create a more transnational and less Eurocentric discourse, which also addresses the essay film output of non-Western film cultures and filmmakers. Secondly, to push world cinema itself out of the fenced-in realm of fiction and the film festival circuit and into a world where documentary fiction and theoretical thought combine. And thirdly, to provide the opportunity to address the multi-layered dynamics of globalization, for example, the effects of migration, through the sensibility and perspective of the essayist. Luckily, as a response to our call for papers, we have received quite a number of abstracts from papers from all over the world that have indeed addressed the issues, these three issues we were proposing in our call. As for point one, to extend the discourse to non-Western essay films, we have, for instance, received a number of papers that could qualify as revisionist attempts to rework the historical canon of essay films by including, for instance, films of the Iranian New Wave or other hitherto neglected film cultures. For instance, we have received a proposal for a pre-constituted panel on film on a film country that is often put into the world cinema category, but not so much thought of as a country in which the essay film flourishes. These panelists aim to explore, and I quote, "The essayistic tendencies in cinema and art practices in Turkey from the 2000s onwards in relation to little discussed moments of national history," unquote. Hence, as the panelists outline, these recent Turkish essay films approach underrepresented events of Turkish history with the critical sensibility of the essayist. Furthermore, we have received papers and formed panels on the history of the Colombian essay film, on Eduardo Coutinho from Brazil, David Perloff from Israel, Tan Pin Pin from Singapore, Farouk Farrokhzad, Laura mentioned already, from Iran, or student essay films in India, covering thus indeed many so far rather neglected filmmakers and film cultures that haven't been discussed within the realm of the existing essay film scholarship properly, I think. Then the second point, world cinema and the essay film expanded, or our aim to push or expand world cinema out of the fenced-in realm of fiction. We have received, for instance, papers on essayistic strategies of some well-known filmmakers like Theo Angelopoulos or Pier Paolo Pasolini, but also from Werner Herzog. Apart from that, both of our keynote speakers seem to address this point, since Corrigan will attempt to describe essayism in contemporary film narrative, and Thomas Elsässer will situate the essay film between festival favorite and interactive installation. Even though I have not received their abstracts yet, both keynotes will address the elusive generic boundaries and the manifold appearances of essayistic practices in the contemporary art and media landscape, thus attempting to expand the essay film discourse, either with regard to the notion of world cinema, as I think Elsässer will do, or to that of the essay film, to the category of the essay film itself, as Corrigan will do. And point three, I call essayistic sensibilities in the age of globalization. We have also received a number of very interesting proposals. Two delegates have sent us abstracts on one of the most important films of the third cinema movement. Laura mentioned already The Hour of the Furnaces by Solana Sangitino, one of whom, a scholar from Argentina, proposes to revisit the film as an essay rather than as agitprop cinema. And a scholar from Paris looks at the hour of the furnaces as a central reference to contemporary political activism practices in cinema across the globe. One of the most interesting abstracts that we've received proposes to call a set of contemporary essay films indeed the world essay film. According to them, and I quote now from their abstracts, films like The Forgotten Space by Noel Birch and Alan Sekula, some of you might know, constitute attempts of cinematically representing the supply chain, the global production and distribution networks of commodities. The common aim of these and similar films is to attempt to depict the world system economy through reflexive representational strategies. In fact, the world essay film's major question pertains to the ways in which the interconnectedness of the world can be made visible, material, spatial, in a word, geographical. At the same time, the category thematizes the anxieties related to the invisibility of the late capitalist world, whose flows and networks seem to escape every form of plain representation, unquote. Very interesting abstract, I think. Another set of abstracts that we've received deal with another aspect of globalization that is equally difficult to represent, since it often remains invisible or underrepresented, and therefore untraceable often, the transnational flows of migrants across the globe. These abstracts address films with which I actually deal in my postdoctoral research project on accented essay films. That's why I called the panel also Accented Essay Films, and to which I want to introduce you now in the second part of this presentation. In my research project, I propose to bring together the category of the essay film with what Hamid Nafisi has proposed to call an accented cinema theory. To answer the following research question, why do filmmakers who live in between cultures and places often use essayistic modes of expression to deal with migration-related topics? Through this confluence of a supposedly generic category with a theory that has, in my opinion, been of great importance to film studies, I hope to provide new perspectives on a body of recently produced films that deal with displacement, exile, or migration in the essayistic format, and which include well-known examples such as The Nine Muses or the Stuart Hall Project by John Acomfra, but also lesser-known examples like Grandmother's Flower, a film by the Korean filmmaker Jung Hyung-moon, or Hungarian Passport by the Brazilian filmmaker Sandra Kogut from 2001. However, apart from Nafisi's book on accented cinema, another important inspiration for launching my research project has been the work of Jonas Mikas, and particularly his Lost, 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 which I consider as a historical key film or a kind of urtext of accented essay films. Even though I believe many of you, if not most of you, have probably already seen Lost, 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 but for those who haven't, I would like to show the opening of this film, after which I will give a brief synopsis, as well as a short explanation of the film's essayistic features as a way to introduce to the second part of my presentation. So, the opening, the first 2 or 3 minutes of Lost, Lost, Lost. Okay, brief synopsis for those who don't know the film. First, this quote before I come to the synopsis. You sit in your homes, but I speak with an accent you don't even know where I come from. This quote is taken from a sequence in the latter part of the movie, and it has become a kind of motto of my research project. But before I come back to that point, first, a short synopsis of Lost, Lost, Lost. It chronicles the filmmaker's everyday life in New York from 49 to 63, consisting of 6 reels, each approximately 30 minutes long. Lost, Lost, Lost is essentially a diary on film, yet it is also, as the title already suggests, an essay on loneliness, estrangement, and alienation in a foreign country, because Mikas was an immigrant from Lithuania to the United States. Right at the beginning, we see the arrival of so-called displaced persons at the New York Harbor's Welcome Center in the late 1940s. Home video-like footage of Lithuanian diaspora festivities, weddings, and gatherings are the main content of the film's first parts, while later, when Mikas moves from Brooklyn to Manhattan, we predominantly see often fast-edited impressions of the change of the seasons, New York street life, or artists at work, which gives us the impression that the filmmaker now turns his gaze away from Lithuania towards his new environment, New York. Frequently, Mikas appears himself as if the diaries offer insists on inscribing his face and body onto the film's 16mm reels. Another form of self-inscription is the author's voice, a voice that apparently has an Eastern European accent. Most of the time, that voice speaks in a lyrical tone, as if reciting continuous string of self-made poems, sayings, and anecdotes. It also often repeats certain words or phrases, just like lost, 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 suggesting that the meaning of that particular word or phrase only manifests through repetition and the materiality of its sound. However, it sometimes also addresses us more directly, emphasizing, for instance, and I quote, that we will never know what a displaced first person thinks, addressing those who do not know the pain of the exile, another quote, hence those who sit comfortably at that apparently secure and stable place called home, the filmmaker with an accent makes us constantly aware that he is in search of that place throughout the film. Now, what exactly are the essayistic features of Lost, Lost, Lost? And I come to the aspect of the accent back later. First, the essayistic aspects. Well, essay filmmakers often work with material that already exists, found footage, or with stylistic elements and generic fragments that are familiar to the viewer. Hence, the essay film is not a genre on its own because, as Corrigan puts it, and I quote, it does not create new forms of experimentation, realism, or narrative. It rethinks existing ones in a dialogue of ideas, unquote. In other words, essay films are characterized by their multi-layeredness. Since the layer mix or juxtapose existing styles, genres, and media material, the main purpose of which is to set in motion a dialogue of ideas. In Lost, 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 almost all sequences contain a mixture of documentary or home video-like shots, which are frequently interrupted by intertitles that contain diary-like information on places, dates, or people, but sometimes also quotes, poems, sometimes even short haikus. In one sequence, the intertitles simply consist just of numbers. The audio track runs sometimes more or less synchronous to the images, but at other times it juxtaposes poetic, essayistic, or expository voiceover commentary to the images. The same strategy is applied with regard to music, since Mekas employs a kaleidoscope of different musical styles from Lithuanian folklore to classical music to go along with these images. So such multi-layered sound image combinations provoke the viewer to think with the author about what is recorded and screened, since they create contrapuntal, ironic, or even contradictory meanings. Rather than to create a linear or chronological, neutral account of immigrant life in New York, it is an audiovisual dialogue of ideas into which we are asked to enter, which Mekas himself has reflected upon in the film with regard to this style of filmmaking, which you can see here from his ambition to be a documentarist, and I quote, a camera historian of the exile, to someone who assembles incomplete and personal notes with his camera randomly, creating a filmic notebook, so to speak, which of course reminds of Alexander Ostrug's notion of the camera stilo, the camera pen, that Laura already mentioned, and the idea that filmmakers can express thoughts and ideas through the camera or the cinema. Another aspect, essay films often employ first-person narrators, but because of their inherent reflectivity, they put the authority of the author in doubt. For Roscaroli, and I quote her now, this results in an ambivalent presence-absence of the film's enunciator, in which the author is neither fully inscribed nor totally absent from the filmic images and sounds. In other words, in essay films, the identity of the enunciator is often unstable, shifting, or assuming different shapes. We can see this strategy at work in the opening shots of Lost, 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 which you just saw. We saw what we would describe today as a selfie or self-portrait of Mekas in his new flat in Brooklyn, inscribing himself bodily as both enunciating author and performing actor in the film. However, simultaneously, we see also his brother Adolphus in a mirror shot here with the bollocks camera, who resembles Jonas quite a bit, I think, introducing the notion of doubling or the double, but also, and more importantly, immediately irritating the viewer with regard to the identifiability of the film's author. During that opening sequence, we also hear a quote from Homer's Ulysses, as you have seen, via Mekas' accented voiceover, suggesting that this newly arrived immigrant in New York thinks that he is in fact embarking, just like Ulysses, on a heroic journey. The purpose here is to ironically destabilize the notion of an author who is in full control of his destiny or biography or knowledge of his destiny and biography. As it turns out, the filmmaker never is the hero of a homecoming journey, nor will he encounter obstacles that need to be overcome in order to return to Lithuania or Ithaca. Mekas establishes thus multiple selves right from the beginning. As an autobiographical author of an audiovisual diary, an epic poet who turns out to be rather a modernist poet, an actor as well as a semi-fictional hero of a homecoming journey, however not to be taken too seriously. Another important feature of filmic essayism is, of course, reflectivity, which could even be described as the default logic of essayistic film practices. Philip Lopate, an American essayist, has described the essayistic mode of thinking, and I quote, as a search to find out what one thinks about something, unquote. According to him, the essayistic thinking is a continuing asking of questions, not necessarily finding solutions. And I think this is quite a good definition. That also hints at the notion of the essay as an incomplete, unfinished attempt, as Montaigne originally defined his essays. Of course, the ironic alignment of Ulysses and Mikas at the beginning of Lost, Lost, Lost is then not only a way of ironically destabilizing the notion of a homecoming journey, but also an announcement that the film we are about to see is an essayistic attempt to find out what home really means. Typical for the essayistic thinking, we do not receive an unambiguous answer to that question, even though the film diarist suggests, rather than defines, that the search for a home is a tedious and time-consuming journey that leads to nowhere, as you can see on the screenshot from the latter part of the film. Towards the end, Mekka suggests that this road that leads to nowhere may have some side benefits, such as finding new friends or purpose in life, in this case, filmmaking, in his case, rather than family roots or a specific place to inhabit. Not coincidentally, not only poetry, but also asking questions rather than answering them, as well as tentative insinuation and purposeful incompleteness, lie at the very heart of Jonas Mekas' essayistic strategies in Lost, Lost, Lost. So why did I did a bit more about Lost, Lost, Lost? Because I think it's a very important film for my research project. That's why I tried to cover here the essayistic features of the film. And now I come to why I would define it as an accented essay film. The next slides will now bring together some of the points that I've mentioned in this brief discussion of Lost, Lost, Lost with some quotes by film scholars to define some major features and characteristics of what I would describe as accented essay film. The first one, which can be derived from Lost, 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 is that intercityality, living between places, creates ambiguity with regard to the author's presence in the filmic text. This is also something that Hamid Nafisi has dedicates a chapter on so-called letter films and also mentioned Jonas Mekas in this chapter, among others, among other authors. And to quote him, he says, in the accented cinema, the author is in the text in multiple ways, as real empirical persons, enunciating subjects, structured absences, fictive structures. In all of these cases, filmmakers are engaged in the performance of the self. Because of their intercityality, exilic authors tend to create ambiguity regarding their own real, fictive, or discursive identities, unquote. Another thesis, if you want, that one could derive from Lost, Lost, Lost is that the essayistic voice corresponds with a voice that speaks from a position of placelessness. All these points that I'm mentioning are kind of interrelated. And this is a thesis also put forward by Ursula Biemann in her in the introduction to this edited volume, Stuff It. She says that the essayistic format is particularly good at capturing the more abstract and tangible processes of social and cultural transitions, and particularly the intangible movements of diaspora, dislocation, and migration. Video essayists respond with their film to an increasingly ambivalent experience of place, nation, and belonging, which has prompted them to develop an artistic language that corresponds to the essayistic voice, a voice that speaks from a position of placelessness. And I think that also fits very well to Jonas Mekas' voice. The essay is Homeland. This is something that Nora Alter has, I think, explained very good. And as I said, in Jonas Mekas' Lost, 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 actually he finds a new homeland, which is filmmaking, or essay filmmaking, if you want, towards the end of his film. And Nora also said most essay filmmakers question or reject the notion of a fixed identity as a filmmaker, be it national, sexual, or cultural. Many like Chilean-born but Paris-based Raoul Ruiz or Vietnamese-born, French-educated, and US-based Trinh Thi Minh have been working in exile. It may even be argued that it is the state of in-betweenness which leads these filmmakers to adopt the essay film as a medium of expression in the first place. Falling themselves between categories, more or less finding a home in multicultural lands, they have been inspired, if not forced, to look for their inspiration to a similarly multi-layered practice of filmmaking. I move on now to the question why it is becoming more and more a transnational film practice. As already mentioned, Timothy Corrigan has argued, in fact, that the essay film, and Laura also explained that the essay film has actually always been a transnational film practice. And this is the quote from Timothy Corrigan. He says that there are prominent currents, French currents, leading from Montaigne to the 1950s Marker and 60s Bazin and Godard, which are the central path of the history of the essay film. But it has extended since the 1970s, he says. It is now a transnational practice. The essay film has proliferated through many new wave cinemas and various film cultures around the world, producing essays like Glauber Rocha, Johannes van der Kolk, and Patrick Kallen, Sue Friedrich. This is the quote. If the essay film is itself a genuine transnational phenomenon, the accented essay film is, because of its exiled, emigrated, or diasporic offers, of course, even more so. While Jonas Mika's Lost, Lost, Lost is an early example, since the 70s particularly, many other essay filmmakers made migration directly or sometimes indirectly an issue. Among them, for instance, Chantal Ackerman, Jill Gunmilov, Joanna Komfra, Trinh Thi Minh, Boris Lehmann, to mention a few. Each of these films operate in different essayistic modes of expression as diaries, journeys, editorial, or self-portray essays, but they do all have in common that their directors explore migration-related topics. Geographically speaking, these filmmakers have made most of their movies either in the US or in Western Europe, as you can see on this slide, where I added some other filmmakers like Gunvor Nelson, Robert Frank. However, unlike before, accented essay films are today not only made by emigres to the United States or in Western Europe, but also by Indian, Japanese, Mexican, Brazilian, Armenian, or Chilean filmmakers, even though, to repeat Nora Alter, these national identity categories wouldn't be suitable to describe these filmmakers anyway. In fact, a lot of contemporary essay films on migration-related topics are best defined as transnational in the true sense of the word. These films represent essayistic quests for the meaning of home, family, or identity across a variety of borders. Some revisit the old political fissures that separated the West from the East. Others retrace migratory routes which span the whole globe, from South to North, from East to West, and also vice versa. Here is a selection of more contemporary films that form the extended body of my accented essay film research project, presented in a chronological order from 2001 to 2014. For instance, in Beyond the Mountains, the film's director, Aya Koretsky, tries to interrogate her parents' reasons for moving from Tokyo to a remote mountain village near Coimbra in Portugal. In a Hungarian passport, Sandra Kogut, granddaughter of Jewish Hungarian refugees to Brazil, embarks on a Kafkaesque journey through embassies and government agencies in France, Brazil, and Hungary in order to apply for a Hungarian passport. Or in Domov, Margareta Hruza tries to reunite her divorced parents, emigres from communist Czechoslovakia in Oslo, where she grew up, traveling to Los Angeles and Prague to convince her parents to do so. Yet despite sharing a common ground, these films also display significant stylistic differences, which is why I want to suggest a few categories under which many recently produced these kind of films might be subsumed. These categories can be described as travel essays in search of identity, secondly, retrieving family history through personal archives, and thirdly, reflecting the personal political through public archives. I don't know how much time I have left. Do I have to read fast?
I think it'd be good to kind of bring it to
okay. Yeah, I thought so. Okay, the first category, journey diaries and travelogues in search of roots, identity, and hope, and home, consists of these films, or I've found these films as good examples for this logic. Typical for the essayistic modes of expression, these films' informations about places and times, geographies and chronologies are often withheld, so that the inner quest becomes the true topic of the film rather than the outer journey, as for instance in Hungarian Passport or also in Domov. Just to take Domov as an example, this is significantly translated as home from Czech. She discovers many branches rather than a single route to her hybrid identity, and only a feeling of longing for home that has become so unbearable that making a film about it, finding a way to express and convey this feeling, becomes the only way of dealing with it. Significantly, Domov's central scene, as you can see here, a conversation between mother and daughter about what home really means, takes place in a desert where one cannot strike any roots. And I wanted to show you this scene, but I won't, of course, now. The second category is retrieving family history through personal archives. And here are some examples. These films can also be described as essayistic quests for the meaning of identity, family, or home. But here the filmmakers embark on these quests through researching the traces left by family members on different media, from letters, notebooks, and diaries to old photographs or home videos. Simultaneously, however, these films provide alternative perspectives on traditional national or transnational political histories through the reconstruction of family histories. In other words, these films are best understood as essayistic attempts at creating histories from below via the reappropriation of private family archives. And I wanted to give you the example from Grandmother's Flower, which I will also skip now. The third category is reflecting the personal political through public archives, and you see a couple of examples here. Here the film's authors mostly remain invisible and also inaudible on the film's image and soundtracks, but the authors are present as a strong structuring element, especially as creative agents in the editing process, or as archival researchers and explorers. They either reappropriate, reinvestigate, or criticize audiovisual media fragments from public archives, and through that sometimes also explore the intersections between a personal destiny and larger socio-historical political frameworks. For instance, in his silent installation Aufstellung, Harun Farocki criticizes the representation of Gastarbeiter, translated as guest workers, in drawings of employment and other statistics. He simply zooms in and out of old German newspaper articles and edits these shots in a specific order, sensitizing the viewer's ability to see these images in a different light that is as outrageously racist representation rather than neutral and value-free statistical information. Or the Nine Muses, John Confra creates a truly palimpsestic meditation on the issue of migration, quoting passages that reflect on migration-related issues from Dylan Thomas, Rabindranath Tagore, Homer's Ulysses to Shakespeare and Nietzsche. He uses predominantly, though, found footage from TV archives and structures his audiovisual meditation in nine chapters, which refer to the nine muses of Greek mythology. The Stuart Hall project, I'm just finished. On the other hand, audiovisual archive material is also used in this way. Well, I have a conclusion, but I'll skip now. Sorry. Okay. Should I? Okay. The conclusion. This is very short. I have just a half page. This is one of many other ways to categorize contemporary films that deal with migration-related topics in a variety of essayistic forms. But to conclude and return to today's leading question, why the essay film now, from the perspective of accented filmmakers. Generally speaking, it seems to me that these filmmakers respond to both the political and biographical complexities of migration-related issues in their lives, as well as to changing media landscape and transformed screen-spectator relations. In our postmodern digital era, in which no fictional narrative can be taken for granted, in which potentially everyone can document his or her life in an audiovisual diary fashion, essayistic reflectivity and its implied state of uncertainty seems to offer one possibility of escaping the traps of both fiction and documentary filmmaking. And in our globalizing era, in which involuntary or voluntary migration has become a rule rather than an exception, the essay film has become a veritable means of expression because it can respond to the challenges of living a life in between in adequate ways. Thank you.